Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rod Gontos.
Rod Gontos, where are you, Rod Gontos? Hey, he's not here right now, so we're going to try and carry on without him here. This is Paul Roberts, his faithful sidekick and often engineer of the show here. And we welcome you to The Rad Life, the only show with Rod Gontos. I know it's spelled Rad, but we pronounce it Rod. The only show that takes a look at the one topic nobody wants to talk about, getting older. Aging. Ouch. And for those of you who've listened before, you know that I'm the voice of the aging baby boomer here, having just turned 60 here. I'm the only baby boomer in the room. And today, we're happy to be joined with a... See, none of these guys are baby boomers. They really don't know what it's like here. We'll let you introduce yourself here. And contestant number one, give us your name and affiliation here.
Guy Navarro. I'm with the RTH Stroke Foundation.
You're not a baby boomer. What do you know about strokes and all that stuff here?
Gen X category.
So today's topic is strokes, a very serious topic here, and one that we'll try and have. We'll try and make it not so heavy that everybody wants to turn out here. Give us some statistics about strokes. How many? How often? Who do they happen to?
Well, stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in the United States.
Really?
It used to be the third, but with advancements of medication, it's been able to climb higher, which is a good thing, but doesn't mean that stroke still is the number one reason for disability in this country.
Wow. And is it all older people, or is that a misconception?
Total misconception. Strokes are, they don't discriminate. So they happen to younger folks, they happen to adults, and the fact of the matter is strokes are occurring at a younger age. Folks in their 50s are having more strokes.
Hmm.
Yes.
All right. What's a stroke? What causes it?
So a stroke is a brain attack. And a stroke is basically when oxygen is and the nutrients are going up the vessel and it's clogged in your brain or mm-hmm. it ruptures. So something is... It's happening in the brain, basically. So there's two types of stroke. One is an ischemic, which is a blockage in your brain.
Okay. And that's a blockage of oxygen, blood, all that kind of stuff? Is that what it is?
That is correct.
All right.
So that is the most common. 80% of all strokes are ischemic. And then the hemorrhagic stroke is the rupture in your brain. Mm. That's the more dangerous one, which occurs, and it's almost like if you take a – you ever cut yourself shaving and you put a piece of napkin on it or a piece of tissue, and the whole tissue fills up with blood. That's exactly what happens in your brain. Hmm. So it causes the most damage.
Well, it's certainly something I'm familiar with, and we'll talk about it a little bit. My father had a stroke several years before he passed, and it was a shock to him and a shock to us what happened. And as I get older, I know more and more occurrences of it. And what's a shock to me is that Rod joined us today here.
It's always a shock.
I always tell the guests when they're sitting here and saying, is he going to come? I said, trust me, he'll be here. He might show up 2-3 minutes into the show, but he'll be here. And they're like, so as we got close, he's like, you're not kidding. This is how he does
it. Well, part of the, you know, not to make light of this topic, but, you know, the last couple of weeks I've been kind of having little mini strokes because I've been running solo without assistance at the office. So it's like trying to be two people at one space at the same time. So I appreciate you guys starting without me.
And the irony is that Rod always preaches, be calm, be in the moment, relax, build in relaxation.
Look at me, am I not calm?
And then he runs this kind of lifestyle here where he's always five minutes late.
Guy knows too because there's a tempest underneath the surface.
Exactly.
See, he's laughing. He knows.
He knows. We can tell. He looks cool and calm, right? Underneath it's bubbling and ready to burst. Is that the typical scenario? Is there any indication of stroke?
Thank you. Again, that's where I was going. I wanted to find out because I was listening to you guys a little bit and it's like, what are symptoms that people can pick up on? I mean, I mean, we talk about, you know, Alzheimer's, we talk about dementia, we talk about trying to identify things in family members. Are there things, Guy, that people can be looking out for without it being sort of, I'm monitoring you every step of the way, that would be early indicators that we got to take care of something?
Because with my dad, we didn't see any, and it just happened, and we were all shocked.
So one little unknown fact is strokes don't hurt. So a heart attack, you know, you'll get a warning with impending chest pains. But right. with a brain attack, it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard because it just creeps up. It's called the silent killer for several reasons. To answer the question is blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to know your blood pressure numbers and knowing your range. That is the highest reason for strokes is high blood pressure.
Mm. And what should people be looking for as possibly a concern when it comes to blood pressure?
The normal range is 120 over 80. Possible concern should be anything over 140 over 90. So these are sort of the range. So if you're between 120 and 140, you should be aware of your blood pressure. But the fact of the matter is most folks don't even know their own blood pressure. I ask you right now, do you know your blood pressure numbers?
I was going to just say, actually.
I don't.
And to all you, my fellow guys especially, you know, regular health checkups, regular stuff that keeps you informed. You know, we try to bury our heads in the ground and necessarily be in denial about wanting to find out about this stuff, but it is empowerment to actually find out about it. And I'm as guilty as charged, if not basically. No,
we have another guy sitting in just watching the shows, thinking and doing his own. Mike Deeb is here, and I said he could sit in here today. Mike's a young guy. You don't know your blood pressure number. No, he doesn't know. Do you know your blood pressure?
No.
I don't know my blood pressure.
I mean, I've taken it, but if you ask me right now, like, do I know my blood pressure? No.
Yeah. I've taken it, too, and it's okay, and it seems like it's net range, so I go, okay, I did it.
Okay, I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to even know about it, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm 51, so, I mean...
Ooh, you're getting old.
Oh, 60 or whatever, whatever, Paul. Okay.
So we have all three generations here. We have baby boomers, we have Gen X, and then we have some millennials here.
No, I'm a Gen X.
Or you're Gen X. You just made the Gen X.
You're outnumbered.
Rod made the Gen X curve as well.
He just made it. You're a millennial. You got to be. Well, how old are you?
44.
You're 44? Baby face. Aren't
yeah. Wow. What's he doing in here? Did you card him?
I thought he was young.
Okay. So going down the list, let's continue to figure out what else you can do.
Yeah. What else can we do?
So
I don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, like other things, I'm feeling lethargic, I'm feeling tired. There isn't some symptoms I should have been noticing here.
But I think a lot of people mistake it, right? A lot of people think, oh, you know, I'm going to get an indication. It's going to be like a heart attack. I'm going to get something, but it's not. It's totally different.
Yeah, it creeps up very quickly. So do you have an irregular heartbeat, also known as atrial fibrillation or AFib? So that also increases your odds of having a stroke. So if you have a rumble in your heart, that's not normal. You need to have that checked out. And if you do have AFib, just adhere to your medication.
Mm-hmm. And my wife doesn't have AFib in a regular heart. She has something else maybe it is AFib, that every so often skips a beat or something here, not on a regular basis. There's something else. Maybe
that's just when you walk into the room, Paul.
Well, yeah. It happens with lots of women.
Oh, God.
Heart skips a beat.
Gents, you did meet Paul, the baby boomer poster child in the room.
Okay. I think it's when Rod walks in the room.
Well, it probably is.
You know, don't ask, don't tell. All I'm saying.
You know, when I first started as a DJ, we all had to have names, and for a while I tried Dr. Love. Ooh, the doctor. And that didn't fly too well because I couldn't pull it off in real life.
You couldn't put off Dr. Love playing some Teddy Pendergrass in the background.
Yeah, Teddy Pendergrass. Yeah.
To play. Exactly. So I will I'm segueing just for a minute. Okay?
Rob wants about to be older. He always knows about all these things.
About things that skip a beat. Hey, what is it? Turn down the lights, light a candle, something about a shower involved.
Yeah,
never mind.
Teddy Pendergrass.
It's not that kind of show. Okay?
Teddy Pendergrass.
We do talk about tough stuff, and sometimes we need to just kind of alleviate the pressure a little bit. But no, I will share something with you that's very fascinating. I had a personal experience this week. A couple of days ago, I met a friend of mine, and one of my vices is smoking cigars on a rare occasion. So I met a friend of mine. Hey, look, wellness is anything, right? We had vodka and massages in the radio station.
We did.
But, okay, and guys like looking at me like, red flag right there. Okay, but I went and met with him at this Havana cigar place on the Circle in Orange. Okay?
Mike's a big cigar smoker over here, too.
Okay. Nice guys over there, by the way. I keep turning my head here to look at Mike. But there was a gentleman there that had to be in his late 70s at least.
Okay.
Okay. Don, that I gathered, was an attorney and is still practicing attorney. Because this guy was sharp. He's there with his long socks, his flaky skin. I kept telling him, you know, I know people in the spa industry. I could maybe get you something. Right? And he was very, very, very articulate and at the same time very damn funny. Right? And this man was sitting...
Is this going somewhere?
Yeah, he's sitting there. Well, about skipping the beat, right?
Oh, I see.
This man is sitting there, and I mean this with ultimate respect, Don, if you're listening. The guy is a horn dog. Every time a woman walked by, that guy was... there is nothing wrong with this guy's sticker. It was just like pumping, pumping, pumping. We'd lose contact, eye contact with him when people walked by because he was engaged in everything that was going on around him. Right? Now... I would have assumed that I needed to be deal with him with fragility, right? Like,
oh,
you know, he's
please.
Oh my God, this guy could have.
He's old. He's
right,
70.
He's 70. He's old, right? So again, we said this on the show before, and I think it probably is even more true here, relevant to stroke, is that age is a factor, but it's not always a part of what happens, right? I mean, you can get people that are younger, people that are in the middle of, you know, sitting out smoking a cigar, could be doing some rigorous activity. It doesn't really matter. Like you said, it's a silent killer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So now you can tell me off for smoking a cigar.
Right. We'll get you a little closer.
Well, you're guilty
of
a risk factor here. Smoking is a risk factor. So stop.
Okay. Thank you.
What are the risk factors for having a stroke? Heredity?
Yes. So family, you cannot.
Oh, that is a factor.
Yes. You can't. You can't influence your family. You can't influence you aging gracefully in your home at whatever age. You're going to age regardless.
Right.
Diabetes is another one as well. Mm. Just adhere to your medication.
Which is a very big problem these days.
Yeah, just the medication.
Right.
And cholesterol as well, too.
Yeah.
You should have no reason that you do not know your own blood pressure numbers and your own cholesterol numbers. Mm-hmm. And I have...
Because I don't want to know.
Well,
as long as I don't know, I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm in good shape. There's no problem.
Yeah, no, that's the denial factor that we keep talking about, you know, that we all... I mean, you know, look, none of us here are sitting at a high perch and basically preaching down. We're as guilty as anybody else.
That's what we always say, yeah. Right.
About the fact that we do not want to be in denial about certain things. The problem is, eventually, you know, that old adage says, you know, at some point or the other, the waiter always shows up with the bill.
Yeah.
Right? So proverbially. So at some point, you're going to basically need to know. So if you're empowered by knowing earlier and making some effort when it's not such a critical thing, but like Guy, what you were saying, you know, if there's a history in the family,
mm-hmm.
See, I didn't realize that was actually something I should be aware of.
Mm-hmm. I knew that because that's what we discovered after my father's stroke. My father was in great health. This happened about, he died at 92. This probably happened around 82. And one day, and he was in good health and good weight and borderline diabetic. And one day he had a stroke. And fortunately, there was his girlfriend was there. And the symptom, I know we'll go through that, the signs that told him he had a stroke. What are the signs? The numbness in the face, the inability to speak. Arm and the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Go
through those.
Yeah, that's great. So there's an easy acronym to remember. It's FAST. So the face. So if you are with someone, you ask the person to smile, and if their face is uneven for whatever reason, that is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Or especially, and it may sound funny, but if drool comes out of one side, mm-hmm. Children drool, not adults. So mm-hmm. that's definitely a sign. The arm. I never will forget this story. We were at a seminar in here in Orange County, and we had gone through the whole lecture on how to prevent stroke, and then this man in a wheelchair in the back started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a grown man, maybe 6'2", in a wheelchair. Afterwards, sir, are you okay? He goes, you know, Guy, I was a football high school coach,
mm-hmm.
and I showed up to practice one day, and I couldn't move my left arm or my leg. And I just sat there 5-10 minutes, and it went away. So then I went to practice. I didn't think much of it. It didn't fall asleep. It felt like I've never felt it before. It was I couldn't move my mm-hmm. left arm or my leg. So I literally had to drag, get my leg, and put it out, and it just subsided. Well, 2 days later, I had a massive stroke because I didn't do anything. I didn't go to the doctors. And so arm, if you can't lift one or both arms and they're uneven, that's definitely a sign. Is if it's drifting downwards or, mm-hmm. or not functioning. The next is speech. So if you're with someone and they start speaking gibberish, that's not normal. Ask them to say a very simple sentence. Is the sky blue? Mm-hmm. And then it's T for time. It's time to call 911. And the importance of calling 911. We live in a great county. So Orange County and LA County have a protocol in place. When you call 911 and you say the word stroke, this is what I tell the groups, whether we're speaking in Vietnamese, in Spanish, or in English, it doesn't matter. If you feel like you're having a stroke, you need to alert the EMT folks that you're having a stroke, because what happens is the operator, 911 operator, hears the word stroke. Instantly, there's a protocol in place. What happens is they already know where they're sending you to. Mm-hmm. The ambulance is going to take you to. The neurologist is paged, is waiting for you at the ambulance when you arrive. When you in transport, they're clearing out the imaging rooms for imaging to happen. And if you have a blockage in your brain, there's no way of knowing that unless you get imaging done. Mm-hmm. So when you get out of that ambulance, they're going to rush you to imaging. There's a three-hour window from onset of the time that you called or when you had the stroke to see if they can give you this drug called TPA. Mm-hmm. It's like a Roto-Rooter for your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because it will unblock the clog. So the neurologist needs to make that call after imaging is done, and there's no way of making that call without imaging. Right. So that's why it's so important to say stroke when you call 911. And don't feel like you're inconveniencing someone by calling 911, because time is brain. And there's so many sad stories. This is our life. This is what we see at our foundation. There's so many folks that didn't go to the hospital or didn't want to bother anybody or didn't want to pay outright the $500 that it would cost to transport them, mm-hmm. because they figured they would wait for their husband to come
home. Take them.
Their son. And mm-hmm. it's just heartbreaking because now they are disabled for the rest of their life when, in essence, they could have maybe prevented this disability from happening.
And that's what they told me with my father, and that's how I learned this, that if he had not gotten there, he recovered pretty much. For the rest of his life, he had some speech impediments, and we'll talk about that. It's very unusual, the speech impediments. He couldn't count. That was one. Numbers was one. Or there are certain things that he could do everything else, but if you added and asked him to say two and two, he'd start to go two, five, six, wouldn't come out. Everything else, he was okay. What we learned is time is of the essence. Just what you said. Time is brain. Everybody wants to hesitate. Everybody wants to wait. Everybody wants to see if it'll go away. By doing that, you almost guarantee, if it is a stroke, that you will not recover. If the faster you get there, the higher, I don't know what the odds are, but it's dramatically higher if you get there fast. Every minute it takes to get there, your chances of recovery go down.
So that's a question I want to ask, is what is the normal response rate to something? Like I make a call to 911.
So the EMT company has a contract, and I believe the response rate is 7 minutes to mm-hmm. be at the location of where the call was at. So they have a mandated contract is saying they will be there in, I think it's 6.5 minutes mm-hmm. or 7 minutes.
And we've had some cities that pride themselves on 5 minutes or 6 minutes in here. Yeah.
And then transportation to the hospital?
Depends on how far
away
you
are. Well, but I'm asking the question for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. We just had the San Clemente Hospital close down.
Okay. So you got to go farther.
Now it's going to be farther. Right. I got parents that are in their 80s. I mean, I'm talking about age, but it could happen to me, right? Mm-hmm. The transportation in a county that is congested by traffic, it becomes a big factor in all the stuff that we're talking about,
always your
response
preaching,
rates and medical services and stuff of that nature.
Preaching and teaching, and we talked about it beforehand, how the county is not in some ways adapting to the aging population here. Instead of adding hospitals, we're subtracting them because they're consolidating and cutting costs. And
Did you see, I don't know if I saw the Orange County Register article about the 20% of population in Newport Beach is actually 65 today. And 16.8% in San Clemente is 65 today. And so, you know, we still have conversations about bond issues for schools mm-hmm. in communities that are becoming actually naturally occurring retirement communities.
Wow.
So it's interesting how that has, I mean, it just the ramifications of mm-hmm. that reality across everything, including public policy, including funding, you know, at the city level and municipalities level, is going to change. And yet we're so behind, we're still thinking like...
Hospitals are about cutting costs, and the more facilities you have, the costlier it is. These aren't public hospitals. These are private institutions, and so they're cutting back.
And I'll just say this because it really ticked me off. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to vent for a second. St. Clemente wise. The hospital closed down because they were eliminating the emergency room.
Yeah,
and the city insisted that they have to have, they zoned it, they rezoned the area so that they had to have like an emergency room. And the hospital said, well, we're closing it down. Then the hospital turned around and sued the city.
But what could the city do about this?
And all I could think of is, I got parents that are in their 80s that live up on the hill. What happens if they need medical
services?
So
are you mad at the city for trying to mandate that there was an emergency place?
I'm mad at the city only in terms of not having the proactive nature of thinking this in advance. I am upset at the fact that the two parties couldn't come to some terms. I understand the business aspect of
it. You're not mad that the hospital's just trying to cut cost?
I am.
Because the hospital in question was bought by a bigger group.
I am. But that aspect of it, it's a business that's being run as a business. I have issues with that when it comes to hospitals. That's the only option we have out there, right?
Right.
But I think the bigger issue is that people's lives are at stake. That extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes could actually mean the difference between life and death for people.
In a stroke, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, every 4 minutes, someone's dying of a stroke. Stroke is happening.
That's astounding.
We've been on here for 24 minutes. 6 people have died from a stroke.
Just take a minute. Let's just take a minute and let that sink in. 6 people in the duration we've been on the air. And how many of those technically, I mean, I know it's statistical.
Could have been prevented,
do you think, Guy?
If they manage their blood pressure, probably 70% of it.
Wow.
80%, because 80% of all strokes can be preventable. That's what I wanted to start with and end with, because 80% of all strokes can be preventable. So if I was to tell you...
It's insanity. That's insane.
Here's how to prevent Alzheimer's, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you need to do to prevent it. You don't think folks would do it?
Like crazy.
Of course they would.
Right. So why are they not doing it to prevent a stroke? In this, I had mentioned stroke is the 5th leading cause of death in this country. But if you look at the mortality tables in L.A. County and in Orange County, it's the 4th leading cause of death.
Wow.
We're a little higher pressure maybe, or older population, or just
look at
other...
the per capita folks. Take Laguna Woods, for example. 3.5 square miles. How many residents? 19,000 residents?
Well, that's that concentration factor we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Right?
You're talking about average age is 78 in 3.5 mile.
Well, that article stated that I think it wasn't the article. Somebody told us, I think on one of these shows, that mm-hmm. Orange County actually has the highest concentration of seniors per capita. And that in South Orange County, it's the highest concentration in Orange County.
Because, as we've talked about on our housing show every week, listen to OC Talk Radio across the board, people ain't moving, they ain't living, and the younger people can't live here. So we're aging in place, as Rod always talks about, in this county. We got in when it was cheap. We ain't leaving because we're going to live longer and work longer.
And the communities, and I'm just stepping aside for a second here from this topic that we're on today, but the communities are actually also not benefiting from any exchange of real estate transactions. So the property taxes are still based on the time of the purchase of the house. And yet you have additional needs that
and
are basically
services.
Because of the aging population. And those services are usually, were traditionally being paid for by the younger working mm-hmm. population, which is now basically leaving and brain drain and population drain out towards the Inland Empire and beyond. And so, you know, we continue to bury our heads in the proverbial beach sands and not really think beyond this. And so when you tell me, am I angry? My anger is about the lack of proactive strategic thinking.
But what can you do? The city's broke. The city doesn't have the pot. You just said their base of costs are going up and their income is
fixed. I think as a society and as a country, we need to start looking at our priorities in a different manner. And I'm not going to get
Here's what you can do.
Right.
You can know the risk factors of how to prevent a stroke.
Exactly.
Because
and be more proactive.
80% of all strokes can happen I mean, we can prevent 80%. Yeah. It's not going to be government or local officials that are going to prevent a stroke. It's going to be you, yes, your family unit. The sense of responsibility needs to happen at home.
But I think you can do a lot for education. You can do a lot to basically emphasize and focus on an issue in order to empower people to take responsibility for their own lives.
And I think Rod's position is, and I would somewhat agree with, I'm somewhere in the middle between the nanny state and the no, do whatever you want state, but...
Well, he's a hippie,
baby boomer. Is that you have to recognize, right or wrong, that the population is getting older. So what do we need to have in place? Maybe we do need to have more emergency centers and more other things set up. We need to plan that. We need to encourage that. We need to subsidize it or somehow encourage it to happen. Because otherwise, it'll get consolidated. There'll be one regional hospital, and we'll all take an hour to get there. I mean, logically, that's
we're asking
where
people
we're going
to take more active role in their health and well-being and be involved in basically regular checkups and things of that nature, right?
No question about
that.
Well,
in order for the medical system to actually support that, there has to be not only the availability, but also the financial means and affordability to do that. When you have an aging population, we'll just talk about seniors for a minute, relevant to this.
Why are you looking at me all the time?
It's where you sit in the room, okay? But basically, with that being the case, is... You have people that are on less and less discretionary income. They're on retirement spending. They're on, so things have to be made affordable, both on the educational aspect and availability of information, and also how to get around. I mean, if I can call 911 like you were saying, Guy, and actually make sure to say stroke. Right?
Right.
Then what am I going to do? I can't afford to pay God knows how much, a mile a minute to basically get me there before Uber. Now, thank you, Uber. Maybe it's a little bit better. But so I'm going to wait for my husband to get home from playing golf. Or I'm going to wait for my daughter to get hold of my daughter, and she'll take me to the hospital.
Wrong decision.
And now we're basically risking people's lives. So what I'm saying is, I agree, like Paul said, it's not about government throwing money at it. It's about basically making it a priority to educate people and empower them to be able to do something.
And having said that, then
themselves,
the government can do everything they want, and if people are still going to ignore it, like we all in this room, don't know our blood pressure, don't look at it, and hesitate, all the human factors that enter into this because we don't want to face it, we don't want to deal with it, we don't want to think about it, then we're back to...
How long have you been at the foundation, Guy?
4 years in August.
Okay, so here's the thing. I know we're going to probably take a break here, but I want to come back. I want to talk about this denial thing for a bit.
Sounds great.
Okay, thanks.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
All right, let's see if we can pull this back together here.
Okay, so before we went on the break, and if you guys are joining us right now, welcome to the Rad Life. Thank you for joining us. My guest today, or our guest, I should say, Paul's is a big part of the show as well. Our guest today is Guy Navarro from the RTH Strokes Foundation. And we were talking about things that you can do, education, people. You know, get more you know about something, the more likely you have.
Say the word stroke. Don't hesitate.
Right.
When you
pick
call.
Up the phone, call 911. If you think you're having a stroke, say stroke, because as Guy was saying, there is a protocol in place that will activate what needs to be done to potentially save your lives.
And know the signs. What are they? The FACE formula?
FAST.
FACE, ARM, Speech, Time.
That's the acronym is FAST.
Any of those things you're exhibiting, don't fool around. Call away because time is brain. The more time you wait, the less the more damage done to your brain if it's happening.
And if you guys are joining us and you want to find out more about the Stroke Foundation, the website is rthfoundation.org. You can go check out FAST and a couple of other things we're talking about here while we're on the air.
And then, as we said, so if you I know the sign. I think I might be having a stroke. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Call immediately. Time is brain. And then use the word stroke if you're taking... If you're calling an ambulance or emergency services, they will start a protocol in place not only to get you there, but to have the other end ready to receive you and start taking imaging and seeing immediately.
Which is critical. They need to do the imaging in order to be able to basically prescribe the drug that you need that maybe help you, that may be a difference of life and death. I want to also give a number out. We need to do this a little bit more regularly during the show. But I want to give our number out. You guys can call with any questions for our guests or let us know that we just basically sound great and terrific or maybe not, either way. But if you say not, then I'm going to cut you off, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 949-330-7761. That's the OC Talk Radio Direct studio line. And you can ask questions to Guy. But before we went to the break, I asked the question, and this may be a little bit of a California phenomenon. Why is it that it seems that we just want to be in denial, self-denial, about some of these things that are critical in our lives? I mean, you've been on the foundation for 4 years. Do you see a pattern or some patterns that you could share with the audience?
Is it any different out here than anywhere else? And the denial is two things. I don't want to know my blood pressure and all this stuff, like me, because I don't want to know.
Nobody ages in California. Nobody gets old in California. Right. Everything is youth-driven. Is
it
any
different? To
me. Like Paul was asking, is it different here than nationally? Is there...
Well, from our experience, let me share with you a program that we run. One of our programs is seminars in the community. So... We educate, we're in over 60 different senior centers. Mm-hmm. We educate close to 4,000 people a year, and we do free screenings to north of 5,000 individuals at no cost. How I'd like to answer your question, it's called the white coat syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Folks are scared of the white coat.
Yes.
So they will read an article about an upcoming seminar that we're hosting at a center. Mm-hmm. They will come because it's non-threatening.
There's no white coats?
There's no white coats.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So they'll come, and we don't do health fairs. We only do lecture, 45-minute lecture on stroke prevention, stroke prevention coupled always with the category, either diabetes, cholesterol, AFib, awareness, etc. And we always do a blood pressure screening. We also do, say, a carotid artery screening to check the narrowing of your carotid artery in your neck. It's a non-invasive screening. You get the results within 30 seconds.
I didn't know you could. No, that's a new one. I never knew
you either.
The carotid artery being the key one that connects your body to your brain. And if there is a stroke, it's
a blockage, and we are able to detect it there, as well as the atrial. We'll also check.
Can you reach over and feel mine here?
I'm not touching your
okay.
Anything.
All right.
The abdomen area, we checked for to see if there's any aneurysms in your abdomen area as well, too. That's aortic aneurysm screening. So those are the screenings that we do for free. So let me share with you what is a very common. It doesn't really matter if we're in Cota de Casa or if we're in
Santa Ana
or the downtown women's shelter in L.A., for that matter.
Okay.
Folks don't know their blood pressures. And the folks that are on medication will take, for example, Sally. We'll take Sally's blood pressure, and it'll be 180 over 100. And our nurse will be like, Sally, do you take blood pressure medication? She goes, yes, I do. Did you take it this morning? Oh, I forgot. And then, when was the last time you took it? Well, sweetie, I don't remember. And so a pattern that we notice is many folks don't adhere to their blood pressure medication.
Because I feel fine.
It doesn't hurt. This blood pressure doesn't hurt me. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they have residual side effects of the medication, or they feel fine, to Paul's point. Same thing goes with the cholesterol. When we do the cholesterol glucose screenings, when their numbers are sky high, we're like, oh, yes, I take medication for that. Mm-hmm. So very common pattern is, for some reason, folks are not motivated to take their medication.
Well, I'll tell you, I've heard from a listener already. Mm-hmm. It happens to be my wife. She just texted me. She says, I'm listening to the show. time for you to make that doctor's appointment.
You got called out?
I got called out on
you
there.
You got called out?
No, but it's true. I mean, like I said before, you know, I'm as guilty as anybody else. We're not preaching to anybody. I think...
Three guys in this room, not one of us knows, other than a guy knows, because I'm saying the three other guys other than guy.
So let me ask this. How often should
three
you be
guys
checking
and
your
guy.
Blood pressure?
Well, I mean, first of all...
Am I carrying something in my car, checking it every 2 days? I mean,
you ever go to the drugstore, like CVS and Walgreens stuff?
Right. That's free, man.
I understand, so I'm asking, is it just whenever, or...
Weekly, monthly, yearly?
I think
what's
you,
a good,
you
what's
need
a good
to start
practice?
Today, starting to know today, and then that will answer it going forward.
I guess why I'm asking, Guy, is blood pressure... And I know this is not. I'm not asking it from a medical thing, okay. Right? But is blood pressure something that varies and changes often that you should be doing it?
I think routinely, blood pressure checks is.
I mean, I don't want to get escorted right. out of the Rite Aid or something because I'm just hanging out there like daily. On the.
But my response is just start today.
Okay.
Well, there's a range. You'll go up or go down depending if you're stressed or you're tired or whatever. So if you took it 20 minutes later, it would change.
But
there's a range for you, and you'll find your range, and then you'll know. And if you go out of that range, then it tells you.
So you know what this also raises to me is the importance of having a very good sense of your well-being. Like
what you always preach here.
Right.
Are you in touch with yourself here? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going back to touching
not on
myself.
There. No, I'm not touching myself.
I touch myself
a lot. But basically you need to really stop and listen to what your body's telling you. You need to be aware of what's going on in your
Except
life.
Except this body's not telling you anything. You got
to... Not
gotta,
relevant to stroke.
You got to ask it a question. You got to say,
exactly.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah. Very good point. You may be listening. But all I'm saying is, it's a lot of people that are just running through life. They're not even really taking a minute to actually just get a sense of their well-being. Mental, emotional, financial even. You know, we talked about that a little bit before. So... I think that's a great practice, and I promise you.
Do you have a blood pressure kit at home?
My dad has.
My dad
actually, I think he's got a lot of time on his hand to be retired, but part of it is also he went through a situation where his blood pressure was high.
Yeah.
So he literally, being the engineer that he is, had a table on a yellow pad where he's basically like
hey,
marking down.
It.
Right. Now, the interesting thing is there was another pad next to him on the other side where he was monitoring the water usage on his water meter as well. So he had
two important things.
So I had
the two most
blood
important
pressure,
things to monitor.
Blood pressure and water pressure on two separate pads.
Yeah.
Very nice penmanship on both of them, by the way, but it was kind of funny. So, no, I think it is important that you take a proactive role in your life because your life may be at stake, period. I mean, I promise I will check, and next week or whenever, I'm going to ask you.
Yes,
so it's going to be a pop quiz.
Please
we're going to start the show, and I'm going to ask you what your blood pressure is.
Well, that's why I said, like this morning, we had the on the city square, we had the Orange County Fire Authority in, and they talk about drowning. And I'm like, okay, drowning must just happen. Awful parents, and they're drinking or not, or they're asleep at the wheel. And no, kids get away in seconds. My little grandchild gets away from me in seconds, and I suddenly go, where is he? And over 100 people... kids fell into a pool and drowned. Half of them were revived, half of them died, roughly. Last year in Orange County, 100% preventable. And here I am with a pool and a grandchild, and they're like, okay, Mr. Roberts, do you have I have a pool on the outside of my property. Do I have a pool, a cover, or something blocking
right,
the inside of it?
We take care of kids, right? We take care of kids.
No.
We take care of pets.
Yeah.
More awareness of what's going on with them. In part, they can't speak, right? Then we do ourselves.
Do you have all these flotation devices? Do you have them in a vest? Do you have a designated lifeguard so that you don't say, "Oh, I thought you were watching him. I thought I'm not watching him." All these things they ran through. At the end of it, I felt so stupid, particularly because there was a woman here whose child had died. She said, "My child died. I was one of those whose 2-year-old died in a pool." Mm. And she said, I will never get over it, and I'm now dedicated my life to it. And she said, and here you are, seemingly a nice guy, and you got a 2-year-old, and you're telling me you don't have... He can walk out of your house right now and walk right into the pool. Yikes. And she said...
How did that feel?
And she said, and now you've heard this again, and God forbid something happens. Will you ever forgive yourself? So we've heard today we can... prevent strokes by monitoring your blood pressure.
Go know what your blood pressure is.
We can prevent drownings. I may not be able yet to prevent Alzheimer's or cancer or some other things in our life yet. We may not be quite, although we're talking about how to prevent those at some point too. Here are two that are easily preventable, right? There should be no strokes, almost no strokes, and almost no drownings.
So I'm gonna post something because I just a guy just handed me something, and I'm gonna post it on our Facebook page. But I'm sure this is available on the website as
yes.
well, right?
Mm-hmm.
A stroke risk scorecard, and it basically is broken down to risk factors. And again, I'll just repeat them: blood pressure, atrial fibrillation,
atrial fibrillation. Yes. Your heart skip a beat?
Thunder in your heart.
Oh, yes. Thunder in your heart.
Ooh.
Smoking.
He's getting the gist of the
cholesterol. Yeah, he is. He's a quick study.
Smoking. So even cigars, huh?
Yeah.
Where you don't inhale it?
Are you done?
You sound like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I didn't inhale.
I did not have any inhaling with that one.
Okay. Sorry.
Smoking, cholesterol.
He's getting the show notes.
Diabetes. Now. Yeah, he's good. Physical,
physical
activity, weight, stroke in family.
Yes,
and the total score. And there's, you know, three columns: a high risk, caution, low risk. And I would suggest that you guys basically go out there and check this out. And it has a scorecard results at the bottom. I'm going to post this on the Facebook page for the Rad Life. We'll post the link to the website after the show with the podcast on this. But yeah, go find out what your blood pressure. Call me. Let me know what you want. This is kind of strange, right? Call me and tell me know what your blood pressure is, okay? But I think the important thing is to really educate yourselves. You only have one life.
Anything we can do to help the foundation? Tell us about the RTH. Who is RTH?
Well, you have something coming up in September, yeah. too, Guy, don't you?
Yeah, well, can I want to talk to you before we get there.
I'm moving on to the party, but yeah.
Let's talk about what happens when you have a stroke.
Oh, okay.
The post-stroke support, we're here for you as well. So there's no other nonprofit in the county that provides the sort of support. When home health leaves, then what? That's where you can call us.
When home health leaves, I can tell
you. Wait, you mean they leave?
Yeah, they leave.
That's right, man.
In about 30 days, as I recall... Medicare gave us, once my dad was in the hospital, then he went into, came back home. He had 30 days, and if he didn't show any improvement, then they're done. You get up to 30 to 90 days somewhere in there in Medicare.
So this is a really unique opportunity for any family members that are listening now to have available to you, I like to call, coin the term, a stroke navigator here to help you. Mm. It's a nurse on staff paid for by the foundation where we're here to take your questions and to help you navigate the new reality that you're in, because it is a new reality. You are now being faced with something that you have absolutely no idea how to deal with. Our nurse on staff is able to walk you through this at no cost. If there's a resource available to it, we'll make sure that you get it. If you need access, we'll make sure that we get this for you.
So let me give you the two. Let's get real here for a second, because I, again, have numerous experiences with people with strokes. My parents' very best friend, a couple years before my dad had a stroke, the wife. She could no longer speak except the word no. No, 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 no. She could write. She could think. She could communicate by writing. But every time it came out in a minute, what she tried to say came out, no, 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 no. That was the only word that her brain could spit out, even though she could think. And it was so frustrating. Her husband almost went crazy. Her friends went crazy. She didn't die. This went on for years. All day long, that's the only word she can say. How do you psych? And they didn't know where to go to handle this psychological trauma, to deal with that new reality.
Well, that is very common. Everyone is unique in the sense of their own stroke and their own disability. But I think our nurse possibly would have made a referral to one of the support groups in the county.
Right.
So just to give you a glance of what support groups exist in this county of Orange, there's only four support groups.
Okay.
We have one at Hogue, we have one at Kaiser, we have one at St. Jude that we run for them, and then we have one in Laguna Hills at our office. So our organization is running two of the four support groups in this county.
Wow.
So it's very important to get connected into a support group or into a community of folks, because what this does, it instills hope.
Yes.
There is hope after stroke.
Right.
You are going to get better. You just need to believe it in order to achieve it.
And if you don't, if there's a limit to how far you get better, then you have to learn how to deal with that and face that. And the psychological drama of that is intense, because it is awful to deal with. I saw this woman, and she was very vibrant, very alive, and suddenly she's Brown to this, and her husband. First, they tried to handle it and accept it, and friends are accepting and family accepting, but it was very hard to deal with. All right, so that's one. And then the other one, my father, this is because he lived out in Sun City, so we had lots of experiences of this. You have a stroke, and you don't die, and you're totally disabled. You're in a wheelchair. You can't eat or feet, or you need total assisted care now here. Do you know what the cost of that is?
Yeah.
Well, it's I don't know if we know any nationwide averages, but out here it's like $6,000-$7,000 a month or something here. Who's got
easy?
Who's got $6,000-$8,000 a month? And our next door neighbor, she went bankrupt. They were well off. They ended up giving up the house and the whole thing because he lived like that for 15 years, mm-hmm. at $8,000-$7,000 a month. Everything they had went. The house went. Everything. She moved away. We never heard from her since.
And that's not covered by any kind of coverage
insurance. Unless maybe you have long-term health that might pay some of that. But any thoughts on that guy of that crisis we're facing? People somehow assume, okay, worst comes to worst, there's some government agency will step in, there's some assistance to handle this.
Can we do to actually help ourselves in case we do find ourselves on the side where we are now dealing with impacts of having had a stroke?
What would you tell people?
What would you tell people?
Hang in there. There is hope. There are some resources available. When you've had the stroke, it is a very devastating blow to the individual and to the family. And we will help you as much as we can as a community-based nonprofit. But I recommend prior to having the stroke to prepare your finances for retirement, or if you can't afford a long-term care policy, look into getting one of those to offset some of the cost. Because to Paul and Rod's point, this is all private pay. Yep. Whether you have Alzheimer's, whether you have a stroke, mm-hmm. whether you have cancer and you need care, etc., no one's covering this. Unless maybe if you're on hospice, but by then it's too late.
Yeah, and that was the shock to them and to us as we've done the show. Everybody assumes there is a safety net there, and there is no safety net unless you're indigent, unless you're really, you know, down to, I think, $2,000 or less to your life savings. And that's the end. Yeah.
And that is also technical. Like you have to prepare for that. You have to make sure you position yourself so you actually qualify.
Yeah.
Because you could easily be denied.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. One other program that I'm going to quickly mention is I had mentioned earlier before Mr. Rod had walked in. You know, he
strolled in
as he owns the place. He sure does.
He does.
Hold on. I'm going to take my feet off the table.
This is a Rod Talk Radio.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
Hey, it's the Rad Life, not the Paul Life.
It's a great life.
It's a great life. It really is, isn't it? Don't you wish we could all live like this guy lives? Comes in looking sharp.
You know,
I
will say there's some people on social media that are friends of mine. They're starting to use it as an adjective now.
That's the Rad Life. So strokes really don't discriminate. So we don't either, and we've been focusing our attention on the adult population, but we realize that the children and the youth and the parents of these children don't know the warning signs of a stroke. So we have strategically aligned ourselves with a high school here in Anaheim, with Anaheim Unified School District, and they've given us a 3-year agreement to go into the high schools. And in 3 months, we were able to educate 753 students, freshmen, on stroke warning signs.
That is fantastic.
And so we are very excited. We are looking for support to fund this program because this is operating outside of our operating budget. And we are having a masquerade gala at the Center Club on September 24th.
Right next door here.
That's right. And it'll be on September 24th at the Center Club. And we're looking for corporate sponsors or anybody that wants to help us educate the youth, and there's an ancillary benefit here. The benefit is that the children, with their parents' surveys, are teaching what they just learned in the classroom to the parents. And the reality is, when we receive the parents' surveys back, 79% of all the parents that filled out the surveys did not have a high school education.
Wow. Interesting.
And this is in Anaheim.
That's interesting.
Mike will fund the whole thing here. He's sitting over here quietly listening. He's got lots of money. He's got lots
Sounds
of stories.
Sounds great.
You know, I do want to add one more thing that if anybody is interested to go to the event on September, what was the date?
24th.
Is that actually there? The foundation's 2016 honoree is Carrie Kasem. All ties together here. Carrie's been on the show.
Carrie was the lady that was on the show. Actually, was our very first guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to give a shout-out.
Famous Casey Kasem's daughter.
I want to give a shout-out to Carrie Kasem and the Kasem Care Foundation, or Kasem Care, I think, is the way that it is now referred to, for an unbelievable year last year, for what they have done with visitation bills throughout the states. But I also want to, just specifically today, which is the 15th, right?
That's correct.
Today is Elder Abuse, I believe, Day.
Correct.
It also happens to be Casey Kasem's birthday. So, Carrie, your dad couldn't be more proud. I know that he can't be more. I mean, it's amazing what you've done. And I'm not taking away from any of the support people, Lisa and Trey Martin and everybody that's on that guy. But happy birthday, Casey. We miss you. And if you guys are listening, please check out the Kasem Care on Facebook, and also reach out and sign the pledge on their website to say no to elder abuse. This is another silent killer out there that we are all, I know Guy is passionate about it, I'm passionate about it, and I just wanted to give a shout out because today is Elder Abuse Day.
And it's also, since we're speaking on Carrie here, it's also the day her father passed away.
Also the day that passed away.
So talk about full circle.
Yeah.
So
actually, I'm sorry. I don't think it's his birthday. I apologize. Thanks, Guy. I think it's the day that he passed away.
That's right.
Which really was sort of a major impetus, I think, why Carrie took this on as a crusade. And she has, so many lives have been saved, I think, because of the visitation bills that have been put in there. There's a movie being put together about isolation that's a documentary now, too. Again, and like we were talking about, the more education, the more outreach that we do, the more informed you become, the more likely that you can deal with these things in advance, feel empowered about it. And I'm sure the night is going to be a nice evening as well.
Yeah, that's great. And then strokes lead to isolation, which is why we're honoring Carrie for the work that she's doing with helping protect individuals that have had strokes. And we're just very fortunate and looking forward to a great night on September 24th.
And it's a masquerade gala.
Yes, it is.
So you can be anonymous without a computer.
Dressed as a baby boomer.
You're going to come dressed as a baby boomer?
Which is the way I'm dressed right now.
Yeah, we're pretty much.
So as the host, should I wear a Phantom of the Opera?
You got a mask and everything else.
I don't know. I'm going to see if I can get my V for Vendetta mask or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'll borrow it from you.
You borrow it from me?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go back to my old one from Phantom of the Opera then? Okay, we'll figure it out. But, I mean, check out the foundation's website at rthfoundation.org. Reach out to the show if you have any questions. I'm sure, you know, Guy, give them information. How can they get hold of you guys? I know you have an email and a telephone number.
Yes, I just recommend the easiest way is if you would like to call us, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-794-9466.
And the website, again, is rthfoundation.org. Their email is info@rtfoundation.org.
And what is RTH? I stepped out of the room for a moment. Did we say what that is?
No, RTH, Roxana Todd Hodges is our founder. She herself had several strokes, and she passed away in her home peacefully in 2011. But she had left us the foundation,
the endowment,
and the endowment to do the wonderful work that we do. And we are educating thousands and thousands of lives every single year because of Roxana. So we're very fortunate for her.
And are you just here in Orange County, or do you elsewhere?
We are in both counties, LA and Orange County.
Okay. Fantastic.
But just on one last note is our message is scaling across the world. Every single day we are generating 950 hits to our website.
Wow. Fantastic.
That's amazing.
Well, we're going to try and see if we can't double that from today and give them even more to understand. And I think it's all about empowering people through education, through awareness, and then getting them to take action. We all can talk the talk. You just told me 10 things. Am I really going to go get my blood
pressure checked? Well, I'm going to repeat just a couple of them as we close. Okay, yeah. Strokes kills almost 130,000 Americans each year.
Yikes.
That's one out of every 20 deaths.
Preventable.
Okay. On average, one American dies from stroke every 4 minutes. Again, preventable. It's like the chorus line poll, right?
Yeah, it's like 15 deaths in this minute.
Right. Every year, more than 795,000 people in the United States have a stroke.
Preventable.
About 610,000 of those are first or new strokes.
Preventable.
About 185,000
1,000 strokes, nearly one of four are in people who have had previous stroke.
Really preventable.
About 87% of all strokes are isometic.
Ischemic.
Strokes. When blood flow to the brain is blocked. So major impact.
You know what's not preventable? We're out of time.
Thanks, Guy, for being here. We'll have you again. Thanks, everybody. Come back next week. The Rad Life. Look us up on Facebook. Reach me, rod.gantus@gmail.com. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gantos. Brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.